So, Lord, we do thank you for your word, and we pray today, O Lord, that you might nourish us. Lord, we pray with your word to build us up, to equip us, to send us out, Lord, to do those things you've called us to do. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I've called the message this morning, Staying Spiritually Awake. And we're taking a bit of a detour from the Gospel of Luke at the moment, and I felt the Lord did put this on my heart, so that's the reason I'm sharing it this morning. We're going to focus particularly on one verse, which is verse 14. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Paul's been speaking about the spiritual darkness of this world, and I think we can agree that there's a huge amount of spiritual darkness in this world. He's speaking about, however, also the light of Christ, the light of Christ that is already shining. And he then says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, I'd just like to say this morning that I'm not sharing this because I think that you're all spiritually asleep and I need to give you a good shake. In fact, as far as I know you, you are people who are spiritually alert and awake. But it's still a word of encouragement and a word of warning. And it teaches us the need that we need to stay spiritually awake, because it's very easy to go to sleep. And so when I'm sharing this morning, I can certainly tell you that I'm speaking, first of all, to myself. Now, the verse, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you, Paul says, this is why it is said. It sounds very much like that Paul is quoting an Old Testament verse, except they're not words that can be found exactly in the Old Testament. So it's more likely, by the way, I need to remember to move this on. There we go. It's more likely that Paul is actually paraphrasing from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. At least this is what is thought to be the most likely option, although he might have a few other thoughts in his mind as well. But let's listen to these words. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Well, I think this is a tremendous word of encouragement. It's also a call for us to allow the light of Christ to shine in and through us, those of us who know him, to be salt and light in this world. That's only possible if we stay spiritually awake. Now, Isaiah's day was a day of great spiritual darkness and international conflict. And Isaiah was speaking, first of all, to a faithful remnant. They were called by God's grace to fulfill God's purpose for them in their generation. But of course, Isaiah was a prophet. And these verses are prophetic because they speak of Christ, and they speak of his glory. And so Paul says to us, well, first of all, to the Christians at Ephesus, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The promise that is. Why did he need to remind the Christians of Ephesus of this, do you think? It seems to me is because some of them perhaps most of them were spiritually asleep. You see, this tendency that we all have to drift away from the Lord, this tendency that we all have towards spiritual apathy, was clearly a problem in Isaiah's day. It was clearly a problem in Paul's day, and it's clearly a problem in our day as well. So what does it mean to be spiritually asleep, sort of snoring away? When we're asleep, we're unaware of our surroundings, usually, aren't we? It's a state of inactivity. Spiritual sleep is when we are not fully aware or attentive to spiritual matters, to what God is doing, and indeed, God Himself. Do you know, Jesus taught again and again to His disciples of the dangers of falling into a spiritual stupor. He said words like, stay alert, watch. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. So how are we to do that? Well, key to that, I think, is what are generally called spiritual disciplines of meeting together, first of all, which is what we're doing this morning, of Bible reading, of Bible study, if we can, of prayer, and doing things on our own and also very much doing them together. See, Paul felt the need to say to the Christians in Ephesus, wake up, O sleepy ones, and rise from the dead. See, a sleeping person can appear to be dead. I mean, I personally tend to sleep like a log, and I always have done. Although a bit less this year, I have to say. I know not everyone is like that. But I can give you an example, because I think most of you know here Sam and Anna. Sam, my son. And they've got Shimmy, their little one-year-old. And he is a horrendous sleeper. But a few weeks ago, something miraculous happened, and he slept for hours and hours and hours and hours. And Anna said, we had to poke him to make sure he was still alive. Because he was so still. Is he dead? It's a bit unusual. But of course, sleeping is not the same as being dead. And in fact, the Ephesian Christians were not spiritually dead. They were Christians. And in fact, Paul had reminded them, again, perhaps to try and wake them up a bit, earlier on in chapter 2, he said, once you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now, he says, God has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. It is by grace you have been saved, because this is the gospel that we know. They were Christians. But some, or maybe most of them, were still spiritually asleep. Being spiritually asleep is a state in which our lives are indistinguishable from those who really are dead in trespasses and sins, who are unbelievers. Somehow the light of Christ is not visible in our lives. It's not shining in our lives as it ought to be. Our Christian testimony is compromised. Perhaps it is really, we've become far too friendly with the world. I believe we are certainly living in a time when we have to, as the song says, let our little lights shine. Because it's certainly getting very dark out there. And what the world needs is the light of Christ. Jesus told a short parable. Again, Luke's Gospel. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but he puts it on a stand so that those who enter might see the light. Yeah. He told this parable because, of course, Jesus knew all too well the tendency of human nature, the tendency to drift into spiritual apathy, the tendency to do our own thing and drift away from the Lord. It takes effort to stay awake. Paul talked about fighting the good fight. If anyone knew what the good fight was, Paul did. Peter said, make every effort to make your calling and election sure. But let's look at two examples of spiritual sleepiness in the Bible. And the first one is this guy, who we all know, Jonah. Jonah. A book dedicated to him in the Old Testament. See, Jonah was sleeping at the wheel, really. And we find in the book of Jonah that he's literally sleeping as well. And sometimes the two do go together, even though we all have to sleep, of course. God had called Jonah to be a missionary. To take the message of the good news, as it was understood in those days, of Yahweh's love and grace to the people of Nineveh, which was east. Well, Jonah didn't like the idea. He got into a boat and went to Spain, which is in the west, which I always find quite amusing. He went in exactly the opposite direction. And God sent a mighty storm. The storm threatened to sink the boat and to drown everyone on board. Now, I'd suggest that experiences like that can have the effect of waking us up. But on this occasion, not Jonah, at least not immediately. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. Jonah was fast asleep in the bowels of the ship, where it was dark. His light was not shining as it should have been. And then in verse 6 it says, the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God, perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. He calls Jonah a sleeper, literally asleep, but I think we can see spiritually not in the right place either, sleeping. In fact, he was in disobedience. And the captain told Jonah to arise. He told him, perhaps God, he didn't know the God of creation. It's God with a little g here. Perhaps your God will give thought to us. Maybe we could put it like this. Maybe the captain was meaning something like this. Perhaps your God will shine upon you, will shine upon us, that we might not perish. Familiar words, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I find it ironic that God used a pagan sailor to wake up a prophet of God, that he might get his spiritual act together, when in fact it should have been the other way around. When God wants to wake us up, he can use whoever he wants, and he can use whatever he wants. He can use someone like the Apostle Paul. He can use an unbeliever like the ship's captain. He can use a storm. He can even use a near-death experience in the belly of a whale, which perhaps finally did wake Jonah up. He used a donkey to wake Balaam up. But it's much better if we seek to stay spiritually awake ourselves. Paul said, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Well, when I look at the world today, and when I read chapters in the Bible like Matthew chapter 4, I see the signs of Jesus' return all around us. I read a little report this week about the Middle East. It just simply said, all the papers are saying that we're living in biblical times. We certainly are. But let's have a look at the second example a little bit more briefly. And this was a church rather than an individual, if I can get this. This was a New Testament church, one of those seven churches in the book of Revelation, the church at Sardis. And it seems again that most of the Christians in the church of Sardis were spiritually asleep, as if they were spiritually dead. It's really interesting because, from a human point of view, they had the reputation of being alive, which shows that we don't always see things the way that Jesus sees them. But Jesus always sees things as they are. And Jesus told them, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I've found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. This is Jesus. This is resurrected Jesus calling his people to stay spiritually awake. And you know, the context here again is actually the same context as Paul was talking about in the book of Romans, and that was Christ's second coming. In the next verse, Revelation 3, verse 3, remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold fast to it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I come to you. We need to be like the five wise virgins who keep the oil in our lamp and to keep it burning. But let's just wind this up. The conclusion, I think, of all I've been saying this morning is really quite simple. We need to stay spiritually awake. We need to stay spiritually tuned in to the Lord. And in this wider passage, Paul does give some clues as to what this means. First of all, he says, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And one of the ways that we can live as wise people is by continually asking God for his wisdom. And when we ask him for his wisdom, he will give it to us. That's his promise. Rather than just charging ahead to do our own thing. Secondly, make the most of every opportunity. I'm sure we're missing opportunities all the time if truth were known. But there are many opportunities out there to do good and to share Christ. Thirdly, understand what the Lord's will is for you. In my experience, it's very difficult for someone else to tell you what the Lord's will is in sort of specific terms. But I think deep, deep down, in fact, I'm absolutely certain that deep, deep down in Jonah's heart, he knew what he should be doing, and he knew he wasn't doing it. So understand what the Lord's will is for you. Thirdly, he says, don't get drunk on wine. And he contrasts that with being filled with a different type of wine, one that's much better. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Well, when we're filled with the Spirit and walking in His will, then we're going to stay spiritually alert. He says, when you meet together, encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we've been thinking quite a lot on that sort of theme in the recent weeks, I believe. And finally, and this is always, 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 always God's will for us, to give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder, Lord, to stay close to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this reminder that in these days, these crucial days, we need to stay spiritually awake. And Lord, as we stay awake, I believe, O Lord, that you will lead us, and Father, we will see your blessing. So we just thank you for this message today. In Jesus' name, amen.